Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
We got to lock in and do what we can to get ready, and we have to continue to move forward.
That's Matt Nagy, and they're talking about building on that one-game winning streak, David.
Well, they have to build on something, and they could not have lost that game, but I would be careful in putting too much into how they won it. It was something that came down to literally the last play, the last second, and they escaped Detroit with a holiday victory. It was a good Thanksgiving for everyone. They could relax a little bit. It was a reprieve in many ways, but it didn't really address the bigger issues here. You still got six games to go. How many of those games are you going to win? How much can you change, really, the reality that looms for you if you're Matt Nagy and the coaching staff?
We got a lot of people who want to check in. Let's get back to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Perry is in Tennessee. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Perry.
It's beginning to look a lot like next year.
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
Who will coach the Bears?
There's definite urgency.
The offense can't make a play.
Urgency.
The defense has had a stay.
I gotta do a better job coaching tackle.
Coach Nagy and Ryan Pace don't have a clue as what to do. It's beginning to look a lot like next year.
We went through that four-game losing streak.
Who will coach the Bears?
Last year, we go through a six-game losing streak.
Will Pace hire a college guy or give Nagy another try? Either way, there's Zoom.
This is a distraction that we're talking about, not getting ready for Arizona. But I understand that because this is real, right?
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. Hey, this is the start of something, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're going to have to go all holiday song. Ray is going to have to kill himself.
Caroling.
Trying to match up.
Yeah,
stuff.
We have weeks to go. Yeah. This last day in November. It's Christmas season.
Isn't there, like, what's the radio station that just plays Christmas songs? They play them, like, 24-7?
Light 93, right?
Whatever.
That...
Don't send people there.
I just sent people there.
Yeah. Whatever it is. We're going to do a sports version of that, as long as Perry and people of that stature keep calling. He had a nice voice, and he worked at that.
I do think he had a very good radio voice in terms of it was melodious. It was definitely in the holiday spirit.
It's beginning to look a lot like name.
A crooner, if you will. Morning, Molly. Happy Tuesday.
Well, it is a happy Tuesday. Sports are weird, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're following them, but there's a lot of strange stuff going on. We should celebrate the Bulls because they scored a season-high 133 points against the Hornets, and they won 133-119. Now, the Hornets score in a high volume, and they don't defend, so they allow in a high volume. But that is a high-volume game, man. 133-119, and Vooch. He looked good,
Vooch,
man.
Vooch is back. Yeah, that was an entertaining game to watch. I had it on as background as we sort of were. I was paying attention to the other story we'll get to in a moment, but I do think that was a good get-well game for the Bulls. Vooch had 30 and 17 or 30 and 13. But all three of the big three scored 25 or more. Lonzo Ball wins the Battle of the Ball Brothers. LeVar was there courtside to watch it all unfold. And, yeah, the Bulls, after being challenged a little bit maybe by Billy Donovan, called a timeout after the Charlotte had cut it down to, I think, single digits and maybe 6 or 8 points in the fourth quarter. And the Bulls responded. That was a fun game to watch.
Zach LaVine played, and there was talk of him not playing in that game.
Yeah.
And he had kind of his flu game. He had his Jordan moment, if you will. It was interesting because Billy Donovan said that, you know, you could see he was sick just looking at him. I got to tell you, watching on TV, I could tell he was sick.
Yeah, you could tell little things, little cues.
Yep.
And yet he rose above it. And anytime that you see illness mentioned for a player being out or missing this or that, being questionable, you worry about COVID and you worry about him being out for a few days or weeks or whatever. But he did what he needed to do. And DeRozan was, how about that crazy shot he threw in when he was fouled? And then
right,
he was a master
right
of the mid-range. They did everything right.
Yeah, they won. So that's good to see. They needed a win. They had lost 3 of 4 and they just weren't playing that well. All right, we got to get to the – so the story of the day. I mean, listen, if you want, and we will, play all the Matt Nagy audio, and he was asked a question, so it's not his fault for his optimism about the fact that they're only have like 7 teams in front of them. But the story of the day that you were all over is Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly is leaving Notre Dame. You thought that was the ultimate destination job or one of them where you either, you know, kind of expired in the chair or, you kind of were let out because you had were close to expiring in the chair. Not a job you leave unless LSU comes calling with a 10-year, $100 million deal. That's the John Gruden deal, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's the John Gruden deal. College football is drunk and it's unprecedented what's gone on the past 24 hours. You have had destination jobs have vacancies created by guys leaving for other jobs that are better in their minds. You've had Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma for USC, and then in the same news cycle, less than a day later, Brian Kelly bolts Notre Dame for LSU. You're exactly right. Notre Dame was and is an elite job. Notre Dame is the pinnacle of college football coaching. I don't think there's any question about that.
Unless you can go to LSU.
Well, Brian Kelly has been, though, at Notre Dame, and he has seen what it looks like from the top of that mountain. And I think that his view and his perspective is interesting here because now he has deemed this. And I understand it. See, I understand this as much as I was surprised by the timing of it. And we'll get to that in a moment. But he understands and believes you can win a national title quicker and easier when you are in Baton Rouge than when you are in South Bend as a college football coach. And he has recent history to back up that claim. 3 national titles since 2003. The last 3 coaches at LSU have won national titles. I don't care about the fit. I don't care if Brian Kelly doesn't look like your typical Cajun coach, Ed Orgeron or whoever. Brian Kelly knows what it takes to build a program. He is closer to a national title this morning than he was yesterday at this time.
Well, I mean, what you're saying effectively is that there are players that you can win with that you can't get into Notre Dame, but you can get them into LSU.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's exactly what they're seeing. And that I think that is a defensible position. I really believe that. Now, I'm not going to say you could never win the national title at Notre Dame. Frankly, they are still mathematically alive for that to happen this year, which makes it all the more stunning. I'm just saying that, statistically speaking, recruiting-wise, you have a better shot of loading up your roster, dispersing your 85 scholarships, whatever it is these days, and loading up on the transfer portal. Those players are going to, those blue-chip difference-making athletes are going to have an easier time getting into LSU than they will at Notre Dame.
Who's your Bob Stoops? Who is the guy you bring? Is George O'Leary coming back?
Yeah.
Just
on his resume. You see his resume, interim Notre Dame coach 2021. Coach of New Year's Day Bowl for Notre Dame.
That's the only thing that would make a Notre Dame fan laugh this morning.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm making a Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops
Holtz
has moved into Oklahoma.
Is the answer to your question.
No, it's not.
I don't think so.
No, it's not. No. Not Lou Holtz.
Why not? Why?
No. They have plenty of choices for interim coaches. They need a guy to coach them in their next game, whether it's in the college football playoff.
That's the defensive coordinator will be the interim coach.
Marcus Freeman, probably.
He's auditioning for the job.
Tommy Reese, Dustin?
I'll do it right now because I knew this was coming.
Okay.
If Tommy Reese is named the head coach of Notre Dame, I will no longer cheer for Notre Dame. There you go.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that.
Neither do I, so I'm willing to make that
declaration. I think that's a big, bold statement.
But I'm just saying, I got to tell you.
I'm just saying, if Tommy Reese is the next head you know what I hope happens? I hope Brian Kelly, that's the one assistant coach
that
Brian Kelly's not ghosting. Go ahead. Take Tommy down to LSU.
Okay.
My guest.
I wonder if, you know, if you're up there and you hear that, would you think then let's hire Tommy just to get rid of Dustin?
No, I don't think so.
Let's get rid of this pest.
No. You know,
for all.
We could talk about the next coach at Notre Dame if you want. I mean, because that's obviously a source of conversation around
the industry. It's not going to be Brian Kelly, and it's not going to be Lincoln Riley.
It's not going to be Tommy Reese. I don't believe so.
I suggested John Gruden to you.
you did.
And I threw in Urban Meyer. I was just reacting to some of the personal scandals that have affected these guys. It was not a serious
idea. That's good, because if it were 2003, I'd be with you. You know, if it were like a long time ago, I don't think that Urban Meyer makes a lot of sense for Notre Dame at this time.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Does Shad Khan agree with that? Because if I were him, I'd be crossing fingers.
It would be really
expensive,
and there'd be some baggage, and I'm not sure that you could fit all of his baggage in the South Bend airport. I think that would be.
Does he bring the steakhouse with him?
I don't know.
The cocktail lunch?
or somebody.
Ohio State pullover when he was at a Notre Dame function? Like, I mean, come on.
Or somebody tweeted last night, I'd have to see for the credit because it was a funny one. It'd be the second thing that fell into his lap this fall.
Wow.
So I don't know that it's
the comment of the day.
Yeah.
It's Urban Meyer.
Music.
Marcus Freeman will get a look. He's the guy that recruiting analysts, a lot of people close to the program, like the idea of the young defensive coordinator who has, you know, made a good impression.
I mean, listen, I got a lot of time for him. I think you need someone. I think it's time to raid Iowa State. It's time to, you know, go get a guy that is, what's his name at Cincinnati? It's time.
Luke Fickell.
It's time to bring in.
Matt Campbell.
Well, there you go.
Pat Fitzgerald.
David Shaw.
That's my four. If I have a short list, those are the four names on it.
I'm with you. I wonder if David Shaw wants to leave Stanford because he's got the connection. He's a Stanford guy. He's kind of locked in there. That would be the only one that I think you'd have a harder time. You've got to choose one of those names.
Yes.
And then just go after them.
Well, Mully, though, that's a really good point, but David Shaw has struggled. I mean, they haven't really had a lot of success of late, which makes him, you know, hard when you're hiring the guy that might not be as hot as he was 2 years ago.
But he's still a great
coach. I know he is, and I believe that, and I think he would fit very well at Notre Dame. I just think that when you look at the job at Notre Dame, the one thing, now I don't, you know, history can be overrated in situations like these and programs that value tradition as much as Notre Dame does.
Right.
I don't know that Marcus Freeman has anything to do with Bob Davey, but I will say this, Notre Dame did learn the value of experience at that job by trying to elevate Bob Davey to replace Lou Holtz. It was a mistake. I didn't think it at the time. It didn't, you know, it was over time that it was proven to be the case, but you're asking for trouble if you elevate somebody who hasn't had the experience of being in that seat. I think that could be a problem. So, Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, Pat Fitzgerald, I don't know if he's available, and David Shaw, I don't know if he's available, but if I'm talking, you know, four guys, that'd be where I'd start.
Well, I think you need to pick one and go after him 100%.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of need to do what they did at USC.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, identify the guy and then go get him and do
that's
whatever you
that's the way
do
that they're doing things these days.
That's what
LSU did.
LSU, man. That
but
is
this about money or is it about a challenge or is it about both?
Both. I think it's absolutely both, Dustin. Don't you?
I think it's a lot of money first of all. But I think, moreover, I think David's spot on. I think this guy wants to win the national title, and he's not sure he can do that at Notre
Dame. Can't.
You know, right. He won more games at Notre Dame than any other coach. That's saying a lot.
And then he left for the LSU job.
Well, I think he waited until he did one before he could do the other.
Yeah.
And I think him leaving now tells you everything about this conversation we've been having about Notre Dame's worthiness and deserving to be in the college football playoff this year. Brian Kelly's probably sitting back there and thinking, guys, you want to know why I'm leaving? This is why.
Yeah.
We have won every game but one. They had a setback. And you're asking whether or not they're worthy of being in the college football playoff?
Well, the thing is, I hope people are paying attention. They're getting so much better defensively as the season has gone on. It's getting scary good.
Yeah.
And they look like a team that could really do some damage if they could get in. They do.
The value of Notre Dame right now and the most impressive aspect of their season is the way they've improved.
Yes.
The way they've responded to coaching.
Yeah.
And that's partly because of Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator. And it's partly because, mostly because, Brian Kelly understands how to coach a football team. I don't like him personally. I just don't. I don't think that's exactly breaking news for a lot of people. And I have experience firsthand to tell you why if you're interested. But as a coach, I respect the heck out of the way that he builds programs. He's going to win at LSU, and I wouldn't be shocked in the next 5 years if he wins a national title. Not at all.
Yeah, I think he'll win there too. I agree with you. And I think that that's probably why he went, coupled with $100 million.
That helps.
And I had a buddy who was just at Baton Rouge, and I said to him, oh, my God, one of the greatest restaurants I've ever been to is a place called Mansour. Just a phenomenal place. Still operational. Greg Blosch recommended it.
Really?
You know, he's from that area.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went there with Big Z. Jeez.
When the Bears played the Saints in Baton Rouge?
There you go.
Yeah.
And
I was not invited. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I don't
Thanks,
know how
guys.
I don't know how we missed
We were competing at the time.
Okay.
I'm sure that was why I was left out.
Well.
All right.
We probably were worried that
sometimes, guys.
That place, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'll have to check with Big Z. I think we went there for dinner. And I think we went for lunch the next day on the way to the airport. It was that good a place.
Yeah.
So I sent my buddy, and he went there for dinner. And then he texted me the next day, he's there again for dinner. Come on,
That's
man.
A good restaurant.
That's a good restaurant.
You know who we need to talk to about not necessarily just restaurants in Baton Rouge, but about this entire move and weighing Notre Dame and LSU is Jerry DiNardo.
Yeah, Jerry would know that.
He would know.
Well,
he coached down there. Yeah. He obviously bleeds Notre Dame blue and gold, and he could have a perspective that would be definitely very interesting when it comes to why Brian Kelly would feel like he's in a better position to win it all now than he was as the coach at Notre Dame for 12 years. And 12 years is a long time. Long time.
We have a texter, Dustin, checking in, and I would love to see them hire this guy just to see how you responded. Dabo Sweeney.
Oh, wow.
I don't think the religious beliefs necessarily match up.
Exactly. They're not aligned.
Yeah. They're a little off.
I think he's a Christian. I mean, he could figure out
I don't think he's saying Hail Marys, though. I mean, I don't think he's...
That's fair.
I got a dark horse.
Maybe you guys will shoot down the dark horse. I got a dark horse. I'm guessing this is going to be part of the 5 at 5.
Yeah.
Okay, it will be.
And I got a dark horse.
Is that a tease?
That's a nice tease.
I cannot wait for that one.
Yeah, okay.
Because I got my poo-poo gun ready.
Yeah, we got Dustin's dark horse is coming. He's on the outside. Oh, no.
No.
The jockey fell off.
He's actually on the inside. There's another tease to the...
Ooh.
Oh,
okay.
I know it. It's definitely Tommy Rees. We'll be back with the 5 at 5. We'll do that next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Do you believe Matt Nagy is helping matters when he prattles on about the benefits of a one-game winning streak and sitting only one game and about seven teams out of the last playoff spot, even if he's just answering a question?
When you break that losing streak, the mentality, it just helps you. That's just natural. You feel better about it. So no matter how it comes, and so to see that you're one game out with all those teams that are in that mix for that last spot, I don't care who you are. If you're a competitor, you care about that.
Should someone explain to this guy that he's only won 4 of 11 games and half of them against the league's only winless team?
You ask that question, you're going to get that answer from Matt Nagy. I mean, I'm sorry that, you know, he is a competitor and he's going to look at it. He's going to feel. But the very fact that you've got 2 wins against a winless team, and then other than that, you have won, 2 games, and they're both AFC opponents. I think your playoff chances are probably as unlikely as anything out there. Are they not like 14th in the NFC right now? It's pretty ugly. You're not doing very well. There's no way around that. And it's great to have belief, and it's great to think that lightning will strike. But it almost takes a lightning strike for the Bears to be able to somehow beat Arizona coming off a bye week, beat Green Bay coming off a bye week. These are like the 2 top dogs in the NFC. And then, you know, you can handle your business against Minnesota, okay? Twice? I don't know. And then you got, what, the Giants? So they're no good. Neither are you. And you got, Seattle. We wanted to get that quarterback. Look what's happened to him. I believe they scored 44 points. They've scored 45 points in his last 4 games.
Oh, man.
So you know what that tells you? He would have fit right in here.
You know, prattle is a great word. It means to talk at length in a foolish or inconsequential way. And I think anybody that looks at the Bears' 4-7 record and sees playoff possibilities is being foolish. And it is a conversation that's inconsequential. It doesn't make any sense. This is not a playoff team. At least they haven't proven yet that they're capable and deserve to be in that group of possibilities. They're not in the hunt. They're not in the hunt at all. They don't look like a team that is, and to believe otherwise is just foolhardy. And I don't know that it makes a lot of sense from a football perspective to make that argument. So I really don't know what Matt Nagy was trying to say yesterday. I guess you're competitive if you welcome that kind of conversation. You've got to have a football team motivated for something, but you just need to get better. Improvement would be the goal each and every week. You're playing the Cardinals. Come in. Kyler Murray may play. It may snow. It may be very difficult for guys from Arizona who practice in nice weather all week to come to bear weather, if that's a myth or reality, whatever. But they are the best team in the NFL right now. They have the best record in the National Football League right now. So I don't know, when you look at this matchup, if you can look at realistically with a straight face and say, oh, yeah, this is a team that looks playoff bound in the Bears. They have possibility here. They've got the Cardinals and the Packers back to back. And they have a quarterback situation that is unsettled at best. And we don't even want to get to the offensive line and the defensive backfield and all sorts of things. So I just think, yeah, we can prattle on all we want about the playoff possibility, but we would be prattling, which is foolish and inconsequential.
I don't have a problem with it because I do believe he was answering a question. Right. It's not like it was his opening remark for the week. And I got to be honest with you, even if it was his opening remark for the week, I would not have had a problem with that either. You want a guy that's trying to win, right? I mean, that's the goal. The goal is to win games for the head coach. They are technically still mathematically alive for the postseason. And let's see. You know, here's the other part of it. And David, you guys they're playing the number one seed in the NFC right now. And then they're going to play the number one seed in the NFC the next week, basically. The 2 best teams back to back. So if you are the last team to get into the postseason, your first game would be against a really good team. So let's find out. You know what, this week? It's a playoff game. That's how the players, the coaches, and the fans should approach this week. This is a playoff game. It's an elimination game. This is the definite, to me, we always have fun with must win and statement game. This is a must win. If this is possible for them to get to the postseason, they need to win this game. It's a game in the NFC. And then guess what makes the next week a must win against a team in your division and in the NFC, obviously.
Okay, so if you're a playoff game. If you're a player, you look at it that way because you have to. If you're a fan, you look at it that way because you want to. But as an analyst, can you give me any football reasons to believe that it's possible?
That's the problem.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
Because, but a big part of it is because we still don't know what's going on with the quarterback.
Okay.
That's why I'm answering these questions right now, because I respect and understand where y'all are coming from your side.
Speaking of the quarterback, after hearing Matt Nagy talk about Justin Fields' toughness Monday, do you feel differently about your expectations for Fields playing Sunday against the Cardinals?
Again, I think every person, not just quarterback, but every person probably handles an injury or coming back from an injury differently. Some are able to do it and get through it. Others may think about it more. So I think with Justin, he's super tough, and I think I know which one he's on, which side he's on.
Our guy Mark Grody said he now feels like it could be, quote, 60-40 in favor of Fields playing. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I'm not here to doubt Grody. I'm just here to express some caution here, because when you hear Matt Nagy talk about Justin Fields' toughness with admiration, and I agree with them. Justin Fields is a tough quarterback, and you want that in your quarterback. You want that in your leader. You want that in your huddle. You want that mentality. I don't need that now. I don't want him to be the tough guy. He's got cracked ribs. I know that because the coach told me that on Friday, on Thursday, whenever that was. If your ribs are cracked on Friday, I don't know how they're going to feel on Tuesday. Today's Tuesday. And tomorrow's Wednesday. I can read a calendar. Thank you. And that practice, I don't know if you're going to be in a position, if you're Justin Fields, to do everything you need to do to function as an NFL quarterback against a defensive pass rush that has 29 sacks and two guys who are going to get after the quarterback. Look, you have to preserve the health of your franchise quarterback. I don't like this big, bold talk about how tough Justin Fields is. I understand the value of him coming back quickly from an injury, but I think there might be greater value in taking the slow, cautious approach and getting him back on the field.
Yeah, you know, I think you've got to kind of rely on the player a little bit. And I think the wise move is for him not to play. I don't see the value, and I think that I see a lot of damage. But potentially you could get the guy hurt, you could lose him, and that's a bad idea. So you would want to give him another week because it's bubble wrap time. But we got to see this guy develop. We got to see if this guy can if this is a must-win, then you need your best players, and you need your must-win quarterback, and you need your, you know, must-develop into a winning quarterback player. And you need him to play more like he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers than the first half of the game he got injured in. I would say that, honestly, the idea of bringing him back going into Lambeau doesn't appeal to me as much as bringing him back playing at Soldier Field.
Before we get – okay, we'll get back to this, but are you saying or do you believe that playing Justin Fields gives the Bears
a better chance of winning
Sunday than Andy Dalton would?
Better chance to win moving forward, too. I mean, to me, it's more about – you know, I'm not hung up on this season in the way that Matt Nagy is and Dustin Rhodes is. I kind of understand that this is a team that is damaged. And I was trying to say to you, Dustin, as you were talking about the offense, their defense, they got nobody left. You know, they're out of players. I don't know if you're watching some of the guys that are lining up. They've lost a lot of players. So I don't know. It'd be great to say all hands on deck and everyone's got to play. But now I think Roquan's going to miss this game. And that adds to, I don't know if Keem's coming back. I don't know. I mean, you got problems all over the place on that defense. It is an entity that is not what it once was. So I look at it as more of a developmental game than as a statement game. And I think what you want is you want the young player. You want him to play and you want him to get better. You know, I know this is stupid, but Walter Payton missed a game as a rookie and then put together like his Iron Man streak. And it always bothered him that he missed a game because he felt like he should have played in that game. And he played in all these games. And I I'm not saying that's Justin Fields, but I think if he wants to be a tough guy and he wants to play in the game, you got to go with him.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think he's got to let you know, meaning Justin's got to let you know. You got to trust him. He is the future of this franchise right now. He's the five-year plan at the very least. You got to trust him. Now, I don't know, obviously, how bruised, beaten, broken, chipped, hurt his ribs are. None of us do. And how much pain he's able or willing to deal with. And this is not the time. This is not the NFC Championship game at Soldier Field, Jay Cutler. This is, you know, the time for injuries and ouchies and taking shots of Toradol and all that stuff. So if this was the NFC Championship game at Soldier Field and you were asking me if Justin Fields should play against the Packers, unequivocally, yes. Unequivocally, take the shot of Toradol, take two shots for all I care, and get your rear end out on the field, son. That's what needs to happen. But this week, you're right. I mean, if all these guys are hurt on defense and we're talking about the analyst, can they win this game? Probably not. So, do you want to go bubble wrap on the guy?
Yeah.
I can understand why you would. I can. But I think Justin Fields has to tell them what's up, and I think you got to trust him. And let Justin Fields dictate whether he plays this week or
not.
You've
got a hard time reining him in if he wants
to play. I know. I just think you go to Wrigley Field, you get to Wilson Contreras' locker, you get the bubble wrap, you wrap Justin Fields and Wilson Contreras' bubble wrap, Dustin, and you call it a weekend. All right. That's what you do.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
What did you think of the Bulls' performance against the Charlotte Hornets? Did you think Zach LaVine might miss the game with illness? How valuable has Alex Caruso been, given the fact that he leads the NBA in steals?
You know, I really like this team, and I really like the try-hard element of Alex Caruso. You know, there was a play where he got a steal and got fouled, and Stacy said something like, "Hey, who's on the floor? Who else?" And I gotta tell you, like, that is so true. I mean, he's diving for everything. He's breaking his rear end. So I love that element of it. I did think Zach LaVine was going to miss that game, and I did appreciate that he played despite his issues. And I thought that it was a really telling performance by that team. They needed to win that game. It was obviously a game in the conference. They knew it, and they came out, and you saw the team that we've seen this year. And you know, we haven't really seen a Vooch be able to play. So he had a really good game for himself, knocked down a couple of big threes. I just think that there's so much to like about this team, and it delights me when they win. It just makes me feel better.
Everything was working, and I think when you had your big three score 25 or more, that's the way it's supposed to function offensively. When you have Lonzo Ball directing traffic and scoring his points, I think he had, you know, more than 15. He had 16 points against his brother. That was a fun matchup. That was the way it's supposed to work. And then you had guys coming off the bench. You had guys in their roles playing their roles well, whether it was Caruso with whatever he does defensively and just fits as the glue guy. You had, how about that Javonte Green block? Oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah. That was what he can deliver. You had even Kobe White, yeah, just when you're starting to think, oh, God, Kobe White, he is so streaky and he's having one of those nights, then boom, he contributes in a big way, hits a big shot. Io, you have guys who are filling the roles, complementing the star players who are being stars, and that's the way it's supposed to look. Against a Charlotte team, pretty good. I mean, that's going to be a team to be reckoned with. They have some nice pieces, but the Bulls should win that game against that team under those circumstances. So, yeah, last night was a very good feel good, get well game for the Bulls, and they need it because they're going into New York and it's going to get pretty tough with their schedule over the next five games or so.
Yep, the tough schedule is coming. That was a game that you definitely needed and wanted to win. The best part of last night was the fact that Vooch looked like Vooch, right? I now, again, you can't expect 30 points a night from Vooch. That's not, I don't think that's the plan, but 20 and 10 is a bare minimum. I need 20 and 10 from Vooch each and every single night. So he's getting his legs back. It's going to take some time. That's totally understandable. I talked about yesterday the fact that the guy's got to get his basketball legs back, something that you're not able to do while you're, you know, going through symptoms of COVID-19. So great win. Glad that Zach LaVine was out there. Alex Caruso, you know, Alex Caruso is almost like, to me, like the me arguing who the MVP of the league is so far versus who the MVP of the Bulls is so far. You know, there's some early talk that DeRozan could be an MVP of the league type candidate, but I could make a case that Caruso might be the MVP of the Bulls at the same time, which, you know, would drive Mully nuts back in the day when I did that with the Cubs. But I could see that going on right now with the team. So I'm thrilled, you know, and they needed that. Hey, listen, go get the next one, because the East is a lot better than I think any of us thought when this year started.
Oh, boy, good question.
What's Brian Kelly's legacy at Notre Dame? Do you think Domers understand his move to LSU or resent him forever? Who replaces Kelly?
His legacy is he leaves as the winningest coach in Notre Dame history who was never able to win a national championship. And that's why he's gone. He stabilized the football situation at Notre Dame. 113-40, 12 seasons, 11-1 this year, 7 years, 7 seasons with 10 or more victories, including the last 5. That's stability. That's part of his legacy. Part of his legacy also includes, people will point out, because it happened on his watch. You know, he was there, the Declan Sullivan tragedy, Lizzie Seberg tragedy. These are things that happened early in his tenure he had to overcome. But that's something that's part of the Brian Kelly experience at Notre Dame, unfortunately. It's bad with the good. There was more good than bad. And he leaves as a guy who I think people will resent right now. But people who understand college football understand why he left. The pathway to a national championship is clearer when you start the journey in Baton Rouge than it is in South Bend. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And for the people making the argument that he is disloyal to his players, I get that. It's college football. That's going to happen each and every year. But there will be the same people arguing why Notre Dame doesn't belong in the college football playoff. Well, if you're going to argue one, you have to understand the other. And if they're not worthy to be in a playoffs conversation as a one-loss team, that's why he's leaving, people. That's why he's gone. So, who's next? Said, my short list would begin with Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, Matt Campbell at Iowa State. You have to call Fitz to see if he would be interested, and then David Shaw at Stanford. That would be my final four, but you have to target one, Mully. You're exactly right. So I would pool my efforts and see how interested Luke Fickell would be to be the next Cincinnati coach to come to Notre Dame and have some success.
Yeah, I think that to answer the question, I honestly think that his legacy is damaged and that the Notre Dame people are going to be peeved with him for a very long time. And if he is successful at LSU, I think that will only mean that they're angry and unhappy about it. I think that Notre Dame understands that it is Notre Dame. And they have this sort of arrogance to themselves, not in a bad way, but, you know, what's the old joke? How do you know a guy went to Notre Dame? He tells you. I got two brothers who went there, and they're proud Domers, and they would be heartbroken at the idea that this is not the destination job, that there are impediments to winning, and so you got to go somewhere else. So now you're talking about bringing in a younger version of Brian Kelly and then getting 10 years out of that guy because eventually he's going to want to go win somewhere. That is a really tough reality, I think, for Notre Dame fans to swallow. You know, a guy like Fitz would be perfect for them, but why would he want to go there? Given his history with the place and the fact that they didn't recruit him and didn't want him to go there when he wanted to go there when he was a kid, I would imagine that he would enjoy them calling upon him, but
saying no.
Yeah, I don't think he's Ara Parseghian, right? I don't think that's the path that he has in mind. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's well worth the pursuit. And if you could get a guy like that, it'd be a great move for Notre Dame. You know, you need a high character individual that you don't have to worry about scandal with or anything else. There are obviously, I think the names you mentioned are the most obvious. I don't think David Shaw wants the job. I don't think he's going to move across the country to get it. I think that he's got some things going on there that are pretty good for him. And I don't know that he feels like that's the job he's going to win in. I would be hard-pressed. I just can't imagine it. But I think there are the other two names you mentioned. Pick one. Let's go.
We have been around long enough to know that there could be a wild card
sure.
name emerge, maybe Incredible. From the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt.
You mentioned the other day, talking about the Bears context, John Harbaugh coming in as the team president and these kinds of things, charting the course. I know in the past, might have been years ago when Brian Kelly was rumored to be looking around, that John Harbaugh's name came up as a potential successor there.
I mean, that would be a great move.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a guy that wins games he shouldn't win because he's so good at his job.
And maybe college would be – he has coached in college before. I think he coaches Cincinnati as an assistant before he went to the NFL. So he has –
would they revive that Michigan rivalry?
That would be fun. Dustin?
That would be really fun to get that going again. I there's – depending on who you believe, there's, you know, who chickened out of that rivalry and whatnot. So, I mean, Luke, I'm sure at Bet Rivers right now, if they have the bet up yet, I mean, I would think Fickell is probably the leader, the odds-on favorite for that job if it's up there. And I'll check in a minute if it's up there. They have some fun bets like that. But let's go with a guy that's coaching in the NFL right now that I saw yesterday rumored for the Oklahoma job. So the only current college coach. Now, there's plenty of NFL coaches that I would be fine with being the head coach of Notre Dame, but I just don't see guys taking that step backwards, especially if you do believe that it's harder to recruit the athletes that you need to win a national championship with at Notre Dame than it is at a place like LSU or Alabama or Oklahoma, USC, yada, yada, yada. Cliff Kingsbury. He's also being rumored as the Oklahoma. Now, this also could be a typical agent.
At Notre Dame?
Yes, Cliff Kingsbury. Because of
he move that house?
What's the most important position in football?
Quarterback.
Quarterback. And I think, you know, Cliff's really good with the quarterback. And I think kids look at Cliff King and would be attracted to play for him. I spent
11 years in South Bend and loved every minute of it. I've never seen a house like Cliff Kingsbury's in South Bend.
There's also, if you look into that, I don't want to be the guy doing that, but that wasn't his house.
Architectural Digest? That
was not his house. Really? That wasn't his house. It was a feature. They were doing a feature on him for the draft, and he was in spec house. Yeah. So that's not exactly accurate. There are some nice houses in South Bend.
Was Jerry Jones on his yacht?
Probably.
He could buy Brian Kelly's.
So from the only NFL guy that makes sense to me would be Cliff Kingsbury, and I'd click my heels over that. I don't know enough about his off the field stuff.
Mike McCarthy?
Gosh, no. I'm not going to go all Danny Parkins on hating him, but I'm not a big Mike McCarthy guy. That's because he's still got Packer stink all over him in places that you don't want to know about. Okay, you ready for the wild? As far as Brian Kelly, good enough, just couldn't win the big game, and I don't know that you can win the ultimate game there. So he gave me a lot of enjoyable Saturday afternoons and evenings, but at the end of the day, I'm still a Lou Holtz guy over a Brian Kelly guy, if you ask me for my Mount Rushmore of Notre Dame coaching. But he's there, but he's not like right there. Here's my wild card, and he is kind of sort of on the staff. If you watch enough Notre Dame games like I do, and I know David does, you see him with a headset on. He is former Notre Dame quarterback and current associate athletic director / football, Ron Paulus. Ron Paulus is the next head coach. Let me put it to you this way. If that gets posted at like a Bet Rivers or something, if Ron Paulus is up there with a number, I'm gonna go all Joe O on that, and I'm laying some money down on
Let me
Ron
say
Paulus.
This.
That is that interesting?
That is interesting
a little bit, David.
That is interesting, Dustin. And that is the craziest Ron Paulus prediction I have heard since Beano Cook said he was going to win two Heisman trophies in 1994.
I love Beano Cook.
He was the best.
You guys are both
terrific insane. Question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
With Robbie Ray, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, and other big-ticket free agents signing elsewhere, how disappointed should either White Sox or Cubs fans be? The White Sox have win-now urgency, but the Cubs vowed to be aggressive, so who's got more to lose if Thursday's lockout arrives with neither team signing or trading a marquee player? Shouldn't the Cubs have a marquee player to show on the Marquee Sports Network?
I honestly believe that the Cubs need to get a marquee player more than the White Sox. I think that the White Sox have a lot of young talent, and they have guys that they're going to build their team around. I think they obviously have some holes. I don't think they were going to spend big money to fill every hole. So it doesn't surprise me that we are still sitting here waiting for something to happen. At some point, they'll trade Kimbrel. At some point, they'll get a second baseman. At some point, they'll pick up somebody to help out in right field or DH, whatever. But I think they've got enough pieces to be competitive in their division. Obviously, the Tigers are making a run at them, and we know that Baez could sign there. But I am heartily disappointed. We talked about this before. The Cubs need a marquee player for the marquee network. They need to find somebody that fans can love. They need to deliver on that promise when they let everyone leave. And I think it's different with the Sox because of the money that they've spent and the limitations that they naturally have had. I think the Cubs, it confounds me that they haven't gone out and gotten one of these big-name players because they could afford a $300 million deal. They could do it if they wanted to. They could afford a $200 million deal. I'm not sure the Sox are in a position to pull that off.
I agree with you in terms of the Cubs can afford it, and they talk a good game, don't they?
Yep.
We're going to be smart. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to do this and do that and then nothing. I don't know that they need a marquee player for the marquee sports network. I think they're fine internally playing the top five third baseman of the 90s or whatever special is next on the marquee sports network. They should approach it that way. I would love it if that were the case, but there's no evidence that it's anything more than rhetoric. So I don't know that the deadline is tick or the clock is ticking as loudly at Wrigley Field as it might be at 35th and Shields because the Sox,
they're in the window.
They're in the window.
Yeah.
And every time that Robbie Ray signs or every time that Marcus Semien signs, you're like, oh, gosh, that could have been a guy. I don't care about the budget in 5 years. Tell me what's the opening day lineup's going to look like.
Yep.
And what your rotation's going to be to challenge the Astros, to challenge the Rays and the Yankees and the teams who are improving and who are going to be there. So the Sox have more to lose by coming up empty-handed. That said, I know you're never supposed to do this on talk radio, but I'm going to reserve judgment until we know what the Sox winter looks like. I want to see them sign everybody, too. I wanted Marcus Semien on the south side.
Yep.
But who is their replacement? What is plan B? I want to see how it all comes together before I say, oh, gosh, this is a terrible offseason.
I agree, David. I think you have to wait, believe it or not, and see. I mean, listen, the Rangers, the Mariners, the teams that are doing
the
this right
Rangers
now.
The Rangers are insane.
They're insane, right? I mean, listen, we could all sit there and say, oh, gosh, wouldn't it be great to be a Rangers fan? No, it wouldn't be great to be a
Rangers
fan.
They won 60 games last year.
I mean, come on. You know, they got a new, beautiful ballpark.
They do that, though. They go out and they spend a huge amount of money on guys.
And if anything, they'll be in the AL wild card one game play and they'll lose, right? I mean, that's like the kind of thing that's what the Rangers do. I think there are still guys out there, plenty of guys out there that could make the White Sox better. But the other, like, you know, Mully, I know one of your big things with the Sox is catching right now. It's a big thing for you. So you see like a deal done with the Pirates, like, you know, like they were willing to trade, like the Sox are not willing to give up anybody on the major league roster except for Nick Madrigal. Like until you're ready to depart with Vaughn, like you probably could have gotten that guy, that catcher for Vaughn, but they just won't. They won't move him. So that's okay. I mean, I like Vaughn a lot. I think he's going to be a really good player. I wanted to see him over at the Cubs.
You wanted Jacob Stallings?
What, for the Sox?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think that made a lot of sense.
But I think
you solved two problems, catcher and DH. Obviously, your DH is now Grandal, and now you have an unbelievable catcher. But I think you would have had to have been willing to give up somebody like Vaughn. I think that was the first guy, and they might have just hung up the phone. So I think you have to take a wait and see right now.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's the 5 at 5. It's your turn to talk. What do you think? Is Brian Kelly's legacy damaged, or is he just the winningest coach in your heart? The no title thing is a big deal, and maybe he's searching for one. We'll get into it a little bit. We want to talk about the Bears. We want to talk about your baseball teams and what they haven't done. How about the Bulls? 312-644-6767. We're going to spray to all fields. Mully and Haw on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.